Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Add some bonus Ballew from Mr. Chubbies. We get things rolling. Let's pick it up in Jackson. A little Jake Giles cruising into the weekend. Day two of the tournament. Gardner Webb for 20 minutes. Got the juices flowing. Top-ranked Virginia, or top-seeded Virginia, wouldn't have any of it in the final 20 minutes of play. They roll on. Can you imagine the disgrace of Cavalier Nation if Virginia would have gone down in consecutive years as the top seed in all of college basketball? And I guess they came in, officially ranked number three out of the four number one seeds. But, I mean, in the world of never, and, you know, I have never been a fan of saying everyone, everybody, anyone, anybody, and no one or nobody for this particular reason. You never know in sports. That's what makes it just so freaking great. But after what happened a year ago when top-ranked Virginia went down, to see that they were trailing by 14 and really just looked all out of sorts this afternoon. I think they got a little bit of pep talk from Kenny and Charles during that halftime break, and they nailed it. You could see that during that last bit of run, what a 14-6 Cavaliers scoring opportunity they took advantage of during the final 2.5 to 3 minutes, that they were not going to let this happen for a second consecutive year. But if that was the case, just how damaging I think that would end up being integrity-wise to this great tournament. I mean, I'm one of those that they kind of snuck it in last week. It came from, I believe, South Carolina. He was the president of South Carolina. It was like a news dump right around this time a week ago Friday, where the South Carolina president came forward and said, yeah, we're going to keep it at four in a college football playoff. We're not going to expand to eight because then all of a sudden people are going to want to go to 16. Then we're going to want to go to 32 and 64. And if I look back, because of the way the games were this year in the semifinals, a lot of people on social media kind of took the opportunity to say, I used to like the old system. I like the bowls. I don't like the four-team college football playoff, and there's no way that we should expand to eight. There's clearly only two great teams this year in college football, and therefore teams three and four had no say, and anyone beyond that, there's no way that they would have a chance. It's asinine, but it's there. And people react that way. It's what they see last. They forgot about, Georgia, Oklahoma a year ago. Do you remember how incredible that semifinal was? And just how special college football was in 2017, before what we saw happen a year ago. Well, that has never been the case in this tournament. With 64 teams and now 68, it's always been considered a level playing field. But my goodness, the atrocity of a number 16 knocking off the same number one seed for consecutive years, what that would have done to this college basketball tournament was damaging. You hear all the time how executives and higher-ups, they want this particular team to win and not that team. Even last week during the Players' Championship, okay? Folks my age and older were pulling for Jim Furyk. 48 and a half years of age, great story. I mean, you can't write something like that. You think the PGA Tour wanted Jim Furyk over Rory McIlroy? You think huge advertisers in the golfing community or any of those who roll in with the red jacket really are going to say, yeah, we want Jim Furyk at nearly 49 years of age winning the PGA Tour's event, the Players' Championship? No way. They want the young gun in Rory McIlroy, a guy who's 29, a guy who's already won four majors, a guy who has a chance to win the Grand Slam next month at the Masters, a guy who's already won 15 PGA Tour events, a young man who's well on his way to the Golf Hall of Fame, and he's not even 30. That's just the way it is. But college basketball has been able to escape. And last year was a mirage. Man, it almost happened again today, at least for 20 minutes. All right, we got a lot to do. A little bonus bowl. I'm used to these hours. You know, I've been everywhere. Doesn't matter. As long as you don't get me early in the morning when I am miserable. I love it at night. If you're joining me for the first time, technical difficulties on the Frangie Show. So I have been in my day, if you look at the 27-year-old career, I'll be honest with you, I've been an ace. I've been a give it to me every 5 days, and I'm going to give you probably eight solid. I'm always going to get ahead of you with probably a fastball off the plate. Never dead red. I've been known as a painter. There were times where I was asked to spot start. There were times when I was a closer. That would be late at night, those 7 years in Chicago. There were other times I was asked to come on in to be a little bit of a specialist. But I don't think I've ever been considered a long relief guy. And that's what I drew today because of technical difficulties. So I'm going to get you through these remaining games during day two of the NCAA tournament. And then we're going to keep it going tonight until 9. We're out here at Mr. Chubby's. And I'm just looking at this menu right now. I feel like I'm getting fatter just looking at this thing. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do today. Chubby's chicken salad, nope, not going there. Caesar salad, nope. I didn't come to Mr. Chubby's to order a salad. Chef shot, no, I ain't going to do that. How about Chubby's nachos? I'm here with Big Country. What do you think, Big Country? Chubby's nachos? Maybe that's the way we go. How about some mozzarella cheese sticks?
Cheese sticks are where it's at.
Cheese sticks, I mean.
Yeah, you never go wrong with cheese sticks.
Yeah, you never go wrong with cheese sticks. So we got all sorts of different types of wings to choose from. We're out here in Fleming Island, and, you know, from where I live, it took just a little bit. It took me longer than an hour, but it is jam-packed in these parts. Village Square Parkway. I've done a remote from here before with the good folks at Miller Lite, so I'm not a stranger to these. As a matter of fact, I've done a couple of remotes here before, and I've always had a whole heck of a lot of fun at Mr. Chubby's. The last time that we were here, was actually on the flip side, off of I-10, down on the west side of beautiful Jacksonville. Today we're out here in Fleming Island. We invite you to come on by. We're going to have a great time. Some really cool people here. This place is great. Very spacious, spread out, TVs everywhere, great friendly staff, and we are just going to have a blast. So we do wish that you, if you're getting off of work, get the opportunity to come on by and say hello. Again, we're going to be here until 11 o'clock because it only gets bigger and better around here. We take our nighttime programming extremely seriously. All right, Denny Thompson, James Coleman coming up tonight at 9. They're going to rock Mr. Chubby's until 11, but you get a little bit of bonus blue, and again, we'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. I got to get this off my chest before I give you scores. Really embarrassed for the sports world with the overreaction of a certain group on the Tom Izzo exchange with his player, Aaron Henry. In my opinion, it's embarrassing to anyone who has ever played the game at a top level, albeit I'm not one of them. I was a failed high school athlete. That's it. But this is the time that we live in. And I've heard all of the complaining by a certain group within the media, within a certain faction of people out there who, you know, they go to the closet, they grab a blue shirt, then 5 seconds later they're going to grab a green shirt, then 5 seconds later they're going to grab a red shirt. They don't know what the hell they want to do. That's just the way they go through life. They're always changing. They can never be constant with anything. That's them. That's their problem. That's certainly not my problem. But now you take on the new way of, you know what, it's a Friday, and I need something to freaking complain about. So I think I'll complain about Tom Izzo, because he's a mean old coach, and he shouldn't be yelling at these players. Folks, this is what coaching is all about. It has been going on forever. And you just can't roll out of bed one day, and because you're probably upset with your life, you're probably down on the fact that you failed as a person, and now all of a sudden it's just something else that you have the opportunity to go off on. It's disgusting. It's deplorable. And I'm not one of those, oh, I walked to school uphill both ways, and I came home and I walked home from school uphill. Actually, you know what? Check that. In a way, I kind of am. I kind of am when it comes to the old school. But everyone blames the kids. Oh, it's the millennials. It's this and that. I've had it of blaming the kids. It's not the kids' fault. It's the parents' fault. It's my fault. It's your fault if you're my age. We are the people who became soft. When we were going through it, there were winners and there were losers. And losers were disappointed and they went home. But what happened is that parents around my age said, uh-uh, little Billy needs a trophy. It doesn't matter if Billy lost today. We're going to massage Billy, and we're going to let him, right now, we're going to teach him and say, it's okay to lose, Billy, because here's the trophy anyway. And you know what? If you don't like it, we'll just snatch you out of there, and we'll send you someplace else. That's why you see what's happening now within the NCAA portal. Don't blame the NCAA. Don't blame Tate Martell. Don't blame Justin Fields. Blame the parents. Too much on the kids. Kids are soft. Kids aren't tough the way they were when you were growing up, when I was growing up. It's the parents. The parents changed. As a divorced dad, I don't know how to discipline my kids. I don't know how to say no to my kids. It sucks. It drives me absolutely nuts. So I'm as much to blame as you are. But here's the difference. I can freaking admit it. I can look in the mirror and say, boy, I wish I did some things differently. And it really does suck that half of marriages all end up in divorce. 50% of them end up in divorce. And then most of you who still are married, you're freaking unhappy. That's really sad. But I credit you people. You know why? You gutted it out. You said the kids are worth something. That's important. So I'm going to sacrifice my well-being to do what I signed up for when I put the damn ring on her finger. I'm going to get through with this, and I'm going to do it the right way. It's massaging America, and the easy way out is, oh, let's blame the millennials. They don't have to work. They get everything. They're bored. They don't do it the way that I did it when I grew up. Screw that. It's on the parents. It's on people like yours truly, Blue. We blew it. We let them off way too early. Hard-ass America left years ago yelling at a player. Tom Izzo yelling at Aaron Henry. People want this coach fired. People want him gone from Michigan State. Are you kidding me? That's a term of endearment. Getting angry is an emotion. It's just like crying. It's just like being happy. That's something that you do. And don't tell me it's just a game and that he's making $8 million and the players aren't making anything. The players are getting a freaking free education. And that's how you coach. What do you want them to do? Now go sit in the corner, Aaron. That was bad. As a matter of fact, you're a naughty boy. Go sit over there and we're going to replace you now with someone else. America has turned so freaking gutless. And the problem is not the kids. Stop blaming the millennials. It's the parents. The parents have no backbone. And I hate to admit it, but I am definitely one of them, and there's no question about it. All right, enough of that. Let's move on. We'll get you updated on everything that is going on tonight in the NCAA tournament. As far as the bracket looks, I was 13-3 yesterday. I absolutely crushed it on a Thursday. Friday, not so much. In the loser's column. LeVay, I'm in a pool, and it looks like I'm not going to win this year's pool. Is there any way that I can get a prize just for participating in the pool? Is there something that you can give me? Because, boy, I would hate to go through all of this and not receive anything at all. I mean, I put a lot of effort into filling out this poll.
Rick, it's tough. I know. I mean, I don't know if we're giving away any participation prizes, though, here on this show.
What am I going to do? I mean, how am I going to get through life? I actually lost something. You're trying to tell me I spent all of this time filling out everything, and I'm not going to get anything for the effort?
All that effort for nothing, Rick.
Yeah, that's disappointing. I appreciate you being honest with me. Oregon knocked off Wisconsin today. That's your second 12 over a 5. We talked about top-ranked Virginia. My goodness, can you imagine what would have taken place if Garner Webb got through? When it was all said and done, Virginia 71-56. Oh, by the way, Garner Webb was a 22.5-point dog. If they had knocked off Virginia today, it would have been the biggest upset points-wise in the history of the NCAA tournament. A lot of people have Tennessee going to their Final Four. They get it done over Colgate, 77-70. Texas Tech, who Ballou has going to the Final Four. They fool around with Northern Kentucky through about 30 minutes of play. They walk away late, 72-57, a 3 over a 14 seed. Buffalo all over Bobby Hurley and Arizona State. Bobby Hurley. Everyone's favorite New Jersey gym rat. I bet you when he grew up, he was one of those guys that needed a participation trophy. Yeah, I bet if he lost big games, and his dad's a legendary high school coach, and they were absolutely phenomenal. But I bet there was a time or two in Bobby Hurley's career where it didn't go the way he wanted it to. I wonder if Bobby got a pat in the back and said, you know what, we're going to give you something anyway, kid, because we don't want you to learn how to lose. Everything you do, you should win. And if you don't win, you should be recognized for giving the effort anyway. UC Irvine knocks off Kansas State, 70-64. Iowa, another upset over Cincinnati, 79-72. Oklahoma just pounds Ole Miss, 95-72. And some other games now, they just tipped seconds ago. Utah State, 7-3 over UW. And we have seven more games on tap tonight, including top-ranked Duke. They'll take on North Carolina State. That begins at 7:10. Tonight at 7:20, Georgia State and Houston, Liberty and Mississippi State. It's a 12-5 seeded ball game, but Mississippi State is only a 6-point favorite in this. It doesn't add up to me. The difference as far as the seeding is less than the overall point spread. That doesn't make a lot of sense. 16, Iona against top-seeded North Carolina. That's one of the four late-night games. UCF-VCU may be the best game tonight in the NCAA tournament. The Buckeyes and Iowa State. Yes, if you did not hear, I chose Iowa State not only to make it to the Final Four this year, I chose Iowa State to play for the national championship. How's that for going out and doing something a little bit differently? All right, St. Louis, the Billigans, and Vatek. That'll be the last game to do it right here at 9:57 on a Friday night. That's the way things look. We're going to keep you just absolutely in the know. As a matter of fact, when we come back, we're going to review some of the games that did happen earlier today and keep you updated on some of the games that are happening tonight. We've got a lot to do. Glad you are with us. The official beginning of Into the Night with Rick Ballou starts on the other side. I will tell you that we are at Mr. Chubby's Wings. It is your new Wings headquarters. We're out here on Fleming Island. It's at the Village Square Parkway. Some great food specials. I'll share those with you. I may try a little bit of something tonight. I may sample a little bit of something here tonight. So we're going to do that over the next couple of hours. Big Country is here engineering the show. Matt LeVay back in the studio is producing it for us. Glad you're with us into the night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
That's good to have you back with us. Into the Night with Rick Ballou, Mr. Chubbies. We roll from right now till 9. Then Denny and James, the Sports Den, will take over beginning at 9 o'clock right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Game 2, or Day 2, of the NCAA tournament. Again, more upsets. UC Irvine the big one against Kansas State, 70-64. So a major upset there. You know, that Oregon-Wisconsin game, I think, was one that even though it was a 12-5, and we get one of those every year in this case, that is the second one that we have this year after Murray State knocked off Marquette yesterday. Perhaps not as surprising there because Oregon under Dana Altman is a well-coached team, and certainly, you know, it's just not a major surprise. Wisconsin, their brand of basketball is one that has always left a little bit to be desired. A team that over the years has typically wins games, you know, 50-48. Kind of that Princeton style of basketball. Take the full advantage of the entire shot clock, and that is the way that Wisconsin has always worked, and they were held to their customary 54 points today in that blowout. Oregon cruising to a 72-54 victory. All right, a lot to do. We'll go through these games, get you set for the four that are going on. A couple just barely are underway here with the night games. Again, four more to kick off here in the 7 o'clock hour, and then four late night in the 9 o'clock hour. Eight are finals, eight more to go on this Friday night. Tomorrow's a huge day for basketball fans around here. And Florida against Michigan is going to be a great basketball game. I watched Florida yesterday, and in the first half, it was a fairly close basketball game. And what I witnessed with Florida is that they made 3 of 12 three-point shots in the first half. But overall, they were shooting nearly 50%. They were 11 of 17 with regular field goals that were taken in the first half of the basketball game. So I thought I knew a little something about college basketball, and my thought was get away from the threes, take more high-percentage shots, and you're going to win this basketball game. They did the exact opposite. I want to say Florida, and I was on the air during this game last night, but the Gators came out, and I want to say that either three of their first four or three of their first five shots were from the three-point variety, and they went in. And, you know, Hudson had a couple. Overall, during the basketball game, Florida still really struggled from behind the arc. They got cold after that. I think they ended up, you know, maybe 5 of 20 last night, 5 of 19, 5 of 18, something along those lines. And I understand. I've been watching them play all year. I understand that Florida is going to take roughly 40% of their shots from behind the arc. But this is, without any question, the definition of a basketball team that is going to live and die with the three-point shot. And when you are a more talented team like they were last night against Nevada, I just think you should take a higher percentage of shots. Now, tomorrow at 5:15 against Michigan, this is a stifling defense. I've watched them play against Michigan State and a couple other opponents this year. I also remember Florida State bowing out to them last year. Florida State making it to the Elite Eight, and they had a real opportunity to get to the Final Four. The difference in that basketball game, especially in the second half last year, is Florida State could not set up any type of offense whatsoever, especially their half-court offense. That was a huge problem. I remember Leonard Hamilton getting all upset. He was asked questions after the game, and he kind of blew his top you know, all of this and all of that. And, you know, I mean, for the comments I just made about how everyone's getting upset with Tom Izzo for calling out his own player and embarrassing his own player and how people want that type of coaching removed, I can't believe anyone defended Leo Hamilton a year ago for the way he handled that post-game interview. That was atrocious. Now, if you believe that my opinion on this is slanted because I'm not a huge fan of Leonard Hamilton, I'm not going to waste time arguing with you on that, okay? I just thought it was Bush. I thought it was Bush seconds after Kansas lost to Syracuse when Bonnie Bernstein asked Roy Williams a question, and Roy Williams looked at Bonnie Bernstein and looked at her as being a lady journalist and accused her of not even being able to create that own question. Instead, his quote was, "Someone in the truck got in your ear and made you ask that question." Yeah, my guess is that 99% of the listening audience right now forgets about that moment. I think with the movement that we are a part of, if Roy Williams did that now to Bonnie Bernstein, there would be a huge uproar. But I was in Chicago when this happened. I can't remember when Syracuse won it. What year was that? 2001, 2002, the Hakeem Warrick block, Billy Dunedin. What? You certainly had Carmelo Anthony on that basketball. You even remember that? Roy Williams doing that to Bonnie Bernstein? I mean, again, if something like that happened, I mean, look at what happened last year with Leo Hamilton. And it seemed like everyone had an opinion on it. People excuse Leo. They pat him on the back. He shouldn't be asked that tough question by that hard-hitting journalist. Others said that was completely disrespectful, lack of class, and he needs to handle things differently. Anyway, my point being, Florida State didn't know how to run an offense against Michigan. And that's what Florida's going to have to deal with now tomorrow. This is a good defense. So this is probably the game that Florida is going to have to rely on making their three-point shots. I just looked it up now. They went 5 of 18 yesterday. If they're 5 of 18 from behind the arc tomorrow afternoon against Michigan, they are going to lose. So I'm all about getting through, shooting through your slump. I believe in that. But I just thought in this basketball game against Nevada, take what the defense gives you. Take a higher percentage of shots. Let me do the math here. 24 of 53. All right, let's see. You bring over the 5. You bring over the 18. You do that. You drop the 4. That's 5. That's 35. The Gators were 19 of 35. If you take away three-point shots last night. You win a lot of basketball games when you're shooting 19 of 35 from the field. The problem for Florida last night was they kept hoisting three-point shots. And they actually dipped a little bit. Again, I remember the numbers. They were 3 of 12 in the first half. That means they ended up being officially 2-4-6 in the second half. So they did kind of call off the dogs when it came to shooting and doing what Florida does best. And I made a huge deal about that on air during halftime. Sometimes it's hard when you're doing a show and you got 4 games going on and everything else that's happening. Apparently Mike White listened. Big win for Florida. And it got tight. It got hairy down the stretch. It really did. Nevada showed a lot of effort, and the Wolfpack came back to make it an interesting game. What, it went from 18 points to within one possession right in front of our eyes. But point is, Florida's got a real puncher's chance to win this game. They absolutely do. I have chosen Michigan. I did so when I filled out my bracket on Wednesday night. I think Michigan is the more talented team. They're tournament tested. I think they played in a better conference. And I know that I was going to say, whoa, wait a minute now. The SEC went 4-0 yesterday, Blue. Okay, I got you there. And they won a couple of games today, right? Tennessee won today. Ole Miss won today. You know what? It's basketball. I don't get caught up in that. I'm a Florida State grad, but I love the SEC in football. Anyone who's ever listened to me knows that. I'm sorry. But when the schedule comes out, I don't grab the book to find out who NC State, you know, when is NC State playing Syracuse? I need to, when is Wake Forest going to play Louisville? No, I don't do that. Instead, I grab the magazine or whatever, and I want to find out when LSU's playing Auburn. I want to find out when Alabama's playing Texas A&M. I want to find out when Florida's playing LSU. I want to find out when Georgia, who do they have non-conference-wise? What, Notre Dame this year? That's what I always do. But you can't get away with that in basketball. So stop with that nonsense. I saw some of that on Twitter today. No one cares. The SEC, you have your bragging rights in football, and it offends people, and it's kind of cool. In basketball, it's really not a great argument. It's just not. So you're probably best suited by leaving that alone, in my particular opinion. Gators have a real chance to win this game tomorrow. We'll see what happens. Florida State, well, we're going to talk about that coming up in just one moment. Guests joining us live from Hartford, Connecticut, on the other side, Florida State is going to take on a team that's fearless in Murray State. Again, FSU, a more talented team, heavy hearts right now after the passing of Phil Kofer's dad. There are some injuries, which I'm going to get the very latest from when we head out there in just a couple of minutes. But it's created a situation where we have taken advantage of that and therefore asked you tonight's question of the night. It's brought to you by Exit Real Estate Gallery. Here goes. Who's around for next week? Florida State or Florida? You can choose Florida State. You can choose Florida. You can choose all of the above, or you can choose neither. I honestly think that Florida State is going to get through Murray State. I think Florida is going to lose to Michigan, and that's what I'm looking at right now with my bracket. I filled that out again on Wednesday night. Could be wrong. I mean, who had Murray State over Marquette? Not many. I think LeVay actually had that back in the studio. Do you have that, man?
I can't take credit for that one. I'd like to, but that was Agent Gibbs.
That was freaking Agent Gibbs.
That was his 12 versus 5 matchup.
Kid's a rock star. And he had that over Marquette. So, anyway, that's what we have tonight. That is your question of the evening brought to you by Exit Real Estate Gallery. And you can join us with that by going to Twitter and looking up Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010. XL. All right, when we do return, let's get the very latest on the Seminoles. We'll go live to Hartford. We'll come back, get you updated on the games that are ongoing as well. We do invite you to Mr. Chubby Wings. Mr. Chubby's Wings, right out here in the Village Square Parkway in Fleming Island. It's great to have you with us. We'll be here till 11 o'clock tonight. Ballou till 9. Denny and James take over from 9 to 11. We'll get rolling through and get you caught up on everything that is going on during day two of the NCAA tournament right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, NFL draft 34 days away. That means the Rolling Stones are in Jacksonville in just 33 days. How cool is that? I tell you what else is cool. We're here at Mr. Chubby's where the place is packed. You can get the Chubby Platter for $49.99. 50 wings, 2 drinks, 2 French fries. I mean, how does that sound? $10 domestic buckets right now. Ladies' night from 9 to close. We're going to be here till 11. James Coleman, Denny Thompson take over at 9. Ballou till 9. And again, the Exit Real Estate question of the night is up. Who makes it to next week? Therefore, the Sweet 16, Florida State, Florida. You can choose either one, you can choose both, or you can choose neither. We'll see. 5:15 tomorrow, Gators, a 6.5-point dog to Michigan. The Noles favored by 5.5. They will take on Murray State. Pulled off that huge upset over Marquette. They'll do it in Hartford, Connecticut. That is tomorrow at 6:10. Tim Linnefeld's done a great job over the years as a senior writer for Seminoles.com, and he is live in Hartford getting ready for this second-round matchup. And he joins us here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM with Rick Ballou. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Man, I'm doing good. I hope you're staying warm there and just awful Hartford, Connecticut. I mean, I grew up in Boston. I always looked at Boston. And, you know, Connecticut is just a little bit of space between Boston and New York.
That's kind of the impression that I'm getting, you know, kind of looking out my window. And I've got one view of the minor league baseball stadium, which is nice, but then another that I guess would be charitably be described as an involuntary art park,
yeah.
Given all of the the graffiti and whatnot. You know, but I mean, it's fine, it's cool. I'm trying to pretend that, you know, the Hartford Whalers are here or what have you. But it's definitely different for sure. It's not the type of place that I don't know that Florida State's ever played in a city like Hartford, at least not that I can recall.
You know, it seems like they came out a little sluggish. It was a terrible first half for really both teams when it came to shooting the basketball. But after Florida State played 3 games in 3 days, and I know there was a lot of talk about them coming here to be in the regional, did that play into what I really looked at as a hangover in the first 20 minutes of play the other day?
You know, maybe it could have. I really think that Vermont's three-point shooting, I think, kind of threw them off a little bit. I mean, that's a team that came into the game shooting about 35-36% from three. They ended up making, I want to say, 9 in the first half and 7 in the second. And so I think that kind of threw them off because I don't think they were planning on, you know, giving up that much. And they were doing what they wanted to do in terms of defending the paint, but they still found themselves in a game that, you know, is much closer than it probably should have been. So I think that probably factors in. And I think they were a little bit tight. You know, kind of a weird thing about this Florida State basketball team, and I'm actually kind of curious to see how this dynamic plays out against Murray State, is that, you know, when they're playing a Duke or a Virginia or Virginia Tech, you know, one of the upper echelon ACC teams, you can almost guarantee that they're going to play pretty well or they're going to be sharp. They might not win, but they're going to play pretty well. I think where they sometimes stub their toes a little bit is games where, like, they're obviously expected to win, and they were so expected to win that game against Vermont. I almost think that it tightens them up a little bit. So it'll be kind of fascinating to see. I think they, you know, are expected again to beat Murray State, but then you've also got the John Morant factor with Murray State, and I think people think that he could be a really big equalizer. And I tend to agree. I mean, that guy is really something special. So I'm curious to see how that affects Florida State going into that game.
Tim Linnefelt, our guest, senior writer from Seminoles.com, joining us here live from Mr. Chubby's. That's Mr. Chubby's Wings out here in the Village Square Parkway. My name's Rick Ballew, here tonight until 9 o'clock. All right, awful news, just tragic news that came in for Phil Kofer, learning that his dad had passed. Obviously, that has an effect on this basketball team. Just kind of take us through that, and I know that Phil's not 100% anyway. He was in a boot yesterday. Is it safe to say that he will not play tomorrow?
No, I don't think that he will. Leonard Hamilton kind of said as much today during his media session. He was asked point blank, and he kind of, you know, he started off by saying he probably wasn't going to play, and then by the end of it, he sort of kept talking his way through it, and by the end of it, it sort of pretty much ruled him out altogether. So I don't expect Phil Kofer to play. I do think that might have as much to do with his foot as it does with the news and his family. But I do think they both factor in. And look, man, it was a tough scene in there. I don't know that I'd ever been a part of anything like it. You know, the game had just ended. Everybody's in a really upbeat mood, having won an NCAA tournament game. I was around the corner with a group of reporters interviewing one of Florida State's assistant coaches. And all of a sudden, you know, we all just heard, a guy in pain. I mean, that just learned that his father died, and he reacted, you know, kind of in a way that you would expect, right? And it took a second to realize what was going on. And then you look over and you saw him. And for those of us who know Phil and his situation and his family background, his dad's been sick for quite some time. You know, it wasn't too hard to figure out that in all likelihood was that he'd gotten bad news from home. And, you know, later on we were able to confirm that that was actually the case. So, I mean, you just hate it for the guy, man. I mean, he's a fifth year senior. He's been through a ton of injuries himself. You know, he came back last year and played really well and was expecting big things this year, and it just hasn't quite worked out. When he's played and been healthy, he's been pretty good, but that just hasn't, you know, it's been kind of few and far between. And then you gear up for one last tournament run. You don't play in the first game, which I think is probably tough in and of itself. And then you get the news after the game from your family about your father, man. I just think, you know, for a guy his age, 22, 23 years old, and that's a really, really hard day.
They're a better team with him. I've always felt that. I know he's missed a lot of games over the last couple of years, but when healthy, he gives you 26 minutes. I just think of those three games in 3 days. He made some big three balls against Virginia. I believe he had a couple. I'll have to look back against Virginia Tech. But they're a better basketball team, and he's in there. Yeah.
No,
he's a better team with him in there.
I agree. And what's really fascinating about him is how much he's transformed his game. I mean, think back to when he was a freshman. You know, he's basically a five. You know, you remember it's kind of his signature highlight was going up and dunking against Jahlil Okafor as a freshman. And now he's, you know, playing out on the perimeter, playing on the wing and shooting three-pointers and, like, really good at shooting three-pointers. I don't know that I've ever seen a player completely transform his style of play so successfully that late in his career. And then I also think, you know, you factor in kind of just sort of being an emotional rallying point for them anyway. Being that, you know, everybody knows kind of what he's been through and this being his last year. And Terrence Mann said it after the game that, you know, they found out right before that Phil wasn't going to be able to go. I think they've been planning on having him, and they find out earlier in the day that that he wasn't going to be able to go. And you know, to your earlier point about them coming out maybe a little bit more slow than you'd expect, Terrence Mann kind of said that sort of took the wind out of their sails a little bit when they found out, you know, as a game time decision, he wasn't going to be able to go. So, yeah, you wonder how it's going to affect them moving forward. I mean, I almost hate to even put it into these types of terms. Like, I don't want to trivialize a tragedy to the point of making it about basketball. But if it's, you know, something for them to rally around and something they can provide to feel good about, you know, maybe that does help in some small way.
Yeah, we'll see what happens when they go back to. Do you know, are they going to go to Raekwon Gray again? Could it be P.J. Savoy? Did Leonard say?
I expect it to be Raekwon Gray. I think they're pretty happy with what he gave them, particularly defensively. And, you know, for one reason or another, and we haven't really quite been able to put our fingers on it, you know, P.J. hasn't played as much lately. He didn't do a whole lot in the ACC tournament, and that's pretty limited action against Vermont the other day. I mean, the one thing to keep in mind, we don't really know for sure the extent to which David Nichols is banged up. You know, he got his leg sort of taken out against Vermont in that game, and he stayed in, but it looked like he was moving a little bit gingerly. I would suspect that thing's probably pretty sore today. So, you know, we'll kind of see how that goes. But my inclination as of right now is that I suspect Raekwon Gray will start.
Yeah, good to see David Nichols finally get a win against Vermont. I think it was 0-5 when he played for Albany and faced the Catamounts. In our final moment, what else can you tell us injury-wise? Not only with Nichols, but looks like Terrence Forrest is playing on one leg. We saw him working on Terrence Mann, who was just phenomenal down the stretch for Florida State. How are they with these other injuries?
Terrence, I think, is fine. You know, he got sort of scratched in the eye, and after that game, you know, he had a big kind of a scratch bordering on a cut beneath his eye and had a bit of a shiner, sort of looked like he'd been in a fight in the courtyard after school. As for Trent Forrest, I mean, it's sort of the same story with him in that it's the toe that's been bothering him really all year, and the way it's been described to me is that he has good days and he has bad days, and they almost sort of alternate a little bit. You saw it in the ACC tournament, whereas I think Virginia Tech was a not-so-good day. Virginia was a really good day, and then Duke not-so-good. So I think they'd probably agree that the Albany game was probably not-so-good for him. And so now the question is, I mean, they didn't play today. So, you know, if you're able to keep him off it and keep him fresh, you know, maybe against Murray State he'll be able to go, which I think is a pretty important factor in that game, by the way. If Trent Forrest, who I think is one of their better defenders when he's right, going up against a guy like John Moran, who's probably going to be a top five pick, him being effective, I think, is a really, really important thing for Florida State. Who else did you ask me about? I'm sorry.
Let me see. I asked you about Mann and Forrest. That was it.
Yeah. So those guys, I mean, Terrence, I think, is fine. And Trent, Mann, I mean, I think, like everybody, nobody really knows until the day before the game what it's going to be like for him. Or the day of the game.
I lost you for 1 second because you had mentioned Morant, and that's what I wanted to end with, John Morant, who had the triple-double. He's phenomenal. You were talking about defensive responsibilities. Take us through that again, if you would. What do you think Leonard Hamilton's drawing up tomorrow, defensive responsibility against Morant?
Well, you know, I talked to Charlton Young, one of the assistant coaches, about him today and what the defensive plan is. And he said, look, we're not going to expect any one guy to lock him down. He said, I think the way that you do it is, this is him talking, not me, that you just keep throwing bodies at him. And that's one thing Florida State is able to do. They have a lot of guys that can defend, a lot of guys that can just stay fresh. And the idea is that, you know, you just keep wearing him down, keep playing physical, keep being tough on him, and then hope that by the middle of the second half or you know, down the stretch of the second half, that he's just wearing down a little bit and that he's tired and you keep having fresh bodies to go throw at him. I think the challenge that they have, and Trent Forrest saying this today, is that he's such a good passer. I mean, the dude had, 16 assists yesterday? I mean, holy smokes. And so the difficulty as a defender, and I think that to a degree they're probably going to have to use some intuition on this, is, you know, if you back off of him, he's going to knock down shots. And if you close in on him, he's going to put just a ridiculous pass in somebody's hands, and if you're paying so much attention to him, their other guys are open. I mean, he didn't even lead them in scoring in that game, even with the triple-double, so it's a pretty scary proposition.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Hey, I hate to throw you a curveball, but in 30 seconds, because I can't have you on here without asking, but year one to year two under Taggart, just during the spring session so far, does anything look different to you? Just the overall atmosphere of camp, spring ball, year two compared to year one?
Yeah, two things. The biggest thing, I guess three things technically, and they all fall under the same umbrella, and it's the new offensive staff with Kendall Briles, Randy Clements, and Ron Dugan. It's hard to describe unless you're out there, and I wouldn't expect people to fully appreciate it. I mean, you hear me say that those guys are different and bring a new vibe and roll your eyes. Man, Kendall Briles he's relentless when the offense is running tempo, man. He's getting after guys, getting them to the line, rushing things. And then, you know, to hear them talk about it, the relationship between the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach and those two being in lockstep, having known each other for so long, they really think it's going to pay dividends. And you recall, that's something that Florida State didn't have last year. And I think, quite frankly, it showed pretty often.
Hey, Tim, thank you. Have fun out there in Hartford. Hopefully the Noles are able to hold their own tomorrow against Murray State. We appreciate the time here in Jacksonville. Have a good one.
Hey, my pleasure, Rick. Thank you.
There he goes, Tim Linnefeld, senior writer with the Seminoles.com. Been there for a while. Does a very, very good job. So that'll be interesting. Different responsibilities. Throw different guys tomorrow at John Morant from Murray State. We'll come back. We'll talk about that a little bit. Did I just hear Tim Linnefeld correctly that Kendall Briles, who just made his way to Tallahassee, is coaching up those kids, and he's yelling at them, he's on them, he's screaming. What's the other side going to do? You're not allowed to do that. Just ask Tom Izzo. You can't coach up today's kids without today's kids' parents getting all upset about it. All right, we got a lot to do. Tonight, Exit Real Estate Gallery is with us for the question of the night. Get on in right now. Who is around next week for the Sweet 16? Florida State, Florida, both, none. You have four choices that you can choose from. Just go to Twitter, go to Ballou, B-A-L-L-O-U, 1010. XL. Also take some calls on this. If you want to get on in on this Friday night, you can. 641-1010. Go ahead and give us a ring. And I'll come back. I'll tell you what is going on as far as the other games that are on tap right here on this Friday night as well. What a great crowd here at Mr. Chubby's Wings. Sensational crowd. Family crowd. And very clean place. Really spread out. You got high top tables. You got regular tables. You got booths. You got a bar, you've got indoor, you've got outdoor. It's right out here in Fleming Island at the Village Square Parkway. And they got some great deals here. I think I'm going to order the Chubby Platter. I think that's Ballou. I really do. I think Ballou is the Chubby Platter for 50 wings, two drinks. You know what I'm going to do? I'm order 50 wings and order two Diet Pepsis. And two French fries. It's only $49.99. I mean, think of that. 50 wings. Two drinks and two French fries. $49.99. Come on out. If you're in the neighborhood, we'd love to see you. Again, I'll be here till 9, but it continues all night long. Denny Thompson, James Coleman, the Sports Den. They'll be here tonight through 11 o'clock. So we're back out on the road, this time out in Fleming Island, and we're having a whole heck of a lot of fun. When we come back, let's grab some calls on the Gators and Noles in basketball. 641-1010. I'll give you an update on the games that are going on as well right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballou on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, with you till 9 tonight, then at 9 o'clock, Denny Thompson, James Coleman take over Sports Den. We're going to go to 11. You look at both shows combined from Mr. Chubby's Wings. What a great place out here in Fleming Island, Village Square Parkway. Thank you to Tim Linnefeld for joining us, senior writer, Seminoles.com. Still trying to grasp all of this Florida State hoops and I don't know what to make of it. You know, I have always said, and I'll stand by this, that I'm all football, that even them making the Final Four doesn't equal, one victory in Florida State football. What I'm getting by What I'm getting at with that is, in my opinion, I'd much rather have the Noles lose tomorrow in basketball to Murray State than lose any game on their schedule in football, even in a disaster-type season like they had a year ago. You know, I've had people ask me that, what were the Noles, 5-6 going into that Florida game? Would you rather have a 5-6 Florida State team beat Florida in football or have this basketball team go to the Final Four? It's not even a moment's thought. It's absolutely win the football game. I mean, it's not even close. But that's the way that I'm wired. I don't know how you're wired, but I just find it really interesting that this Florida State fan base with basketball is kind of, I don't know, what word am I looking for? Are you being honest with yourself? You know, whenever Florida State wins a game, my social media is filled with, oh, Baloo, you wanted Leo fired. Okay, yeah, and I've made this point before, but I'm going to make it again. I absolutely wanted him fired. I would have fired him more than 10 years ago. But you wanted him fired, too. And the difference is that people remember that I said it because I don't back away from it. You probably said it, or you absolutely said it, but now you're kind of hanging around for the glory cut, you know? Everyone else has been knocking down that tree. Everyone else has been slugging at it up at 6 a.m., taking their shots, working on the trunk, chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. Ah, and here comes you with that golden axe. You're going to take that one swing there at the end and collect the prize. And that's fine. You're a sports fan. I mean, that is absolutely fine. But you are getting it a little bit both ways, in my opinion. And this comes from conversations that I have with Seminole friends of mine. There are other people that I would term Seminole associates of mine, who I don't know if I've ever met, but always find a way to contact me. I think that my return rate is pretty good. I would say in the 80 to 90 percentile, that if you take time out of your day or night to reach me on social media with any type of comment, I return that comment because I appreciate that what I said gets you to a point where you want to reach me, whether it's a positive remark or negative remark. But at football, man, it's straight. I mean, there's no in between. It's straight. In basketball, man, this thing's drunk. It really is. I mean, I'm just trying to figure it out. I've had conversations before with people who have gone up and down how Leonard Hamilton is the worst offensive basketball coach, how he needs to be fired, who are now kind of hanging out like, hey, this is great. This team's got a chance to get into the turn. This team's got a chance to get to the elite. So I'm just a little confused by it. And here's what else I'll tell you. Okay, I've been doing nights now since the first of the year. Went through a period of time, afternoons with Frank and then midday Chalk, where I did not take phone calls. We did not take phone calls for a great number of years. I was thinking about it as I was driving over here this afternoon. I don't think I've taken a phone call on Florida State basketball in more than 10 years. And it just blew me away. Now, again, a lot of that is my fault because the shows we are on, we elected, because we have so many hosts on those shows, to not take phone calls. But I've been back here now, and if you've listened to the program, there are nights where I take a lot of calls here. I've never been a caller-driven guy. I am very long-winded. And I'm going to express my opinion, and I'm going to bring on guests. But I do like to hear from you And at times when I've opened up these lines, and again, I do it based on what I'm talking about. I don't have open forum here. In other words, I'm not going to take a phone call right now if you want to talk about the Atlanta Braves. As much as I would love to talk about it, I'm not going to do it. That sounds like crap. You take calls based on what you're discussing, the topic that you have out there. I haven't taken a Florida State basketball call in more than a decade. And whether you like it or not, I'm a Knoll. I'm a Knoll grad. I went to school there. Not a lot of Florida State people on this radio station. Okay? I've taken a lot of Florida State calls on football. So I'm not trying to bite the hand that feeds me. I'm a confused man. That's what I'm getting at. I just don't know how to react. See, the problem with me is this. I'm so emotionally tied to doing this that I react based on the way things are. And it's all part of my upbringing. There's nothing that drives me crazy than the new Boston Red Sox fan. You know who the new Boston Red Sox fan is? He or she's wearing a pink hat, sitting in the front row on their cell phone. Not the guy who went and went and went. He's got that old hat from 72 that he puts on. Maybe he bought another one in 2002. I don't know. But the guy who's always been a fan, or the girl who's always been a fan and went through the ups and the downs. The new fan just kind of came along after they won it in 04. Oh, look at that. That's a green Red Sox shirt. The Red Sox don't freaking wear green. Or that's a pink Red Sox hat. I think I'll buy that, and the tickets cost me $350. And I'm sitting in the front row, and I'm going to sit down. I despise those fans. I can't stand those fans. I don't like Fenway Park anymore. It's too yuppie for me. When I went to Wrigley Field a couple of years ago, and when Buscelli and I went to the Seminole Bar during a playoff game, I think it was the Braves who were in. I don't remember. And I had gone to all those games for years, the seven years I spent in Chicago. And again, there's nothing more blue-collar than traditional Fenway Park in traditional Wrigley Field. And I had seen what they had been doing now to Wrigley Field, how the old nooks and crannies had gone away and they'd given it a facelift. Because they got to appeal to the big money. They got to appeal to the new fan. And that's me. That's old school. And there's very few of you out there who are wired the way that I am. And it's almost to the point, and this is scary, but it's almost to the point where I would almost rather not have you. And no organization is ever going to say that, including the Red Sox or the Cubs. I kind of feel that way about Florida State basketball fans right now. I mean, who are you? Seriously, who the hell are you? You've wanted Leonard Hamilton fired for 10 years just like I have. The difference is, again, that I can admit it. You can't. Is it cowardly by you? Yeah. But is it also part of being a fan? No question about it. You're allowed to be that way. No one's going to call you out for it. Maybe some of your good buddies will. I just wish you were more honest with yourself. That's what I'm getting at. You're taking it and having it both ways. And that's just a rough way to go through life. I would much rather admit to my mistake. It appears that I have made a mistake. I got in a knockdown dragout with Leonard Hamilton and Mike DeCourcy when the three of us were on in Chicago because Florida State didn't get in one year to the NCAA tournament. They had more than 20 wins. I think they had 22 wins. but they played an awful schedule, a very sissy schedule. And Mike DeCourcy and I called out Leonard Hamilton for playing terrible non-conference games. And Leo got all pissed. And I don't know if he hung up or whatever. I don't know if he pulled a Locke and Fora. I don't remember exactly what happened. But from that moment on, I kind of lost a lot of respect for Leonard Hamilton. And then I saw how bad of a game day coach he was. Yes, I would have fired him. But you know what? The guy's done a remarkable job the last several years. He's recruited magnificently. He's lost kids after 1 year. He's lost kids after 2 years. He graduates most his players. His kids are good kids, good character kids. He has brought an exciting brand of basketball to Tallahassee the last several years. They're a fun team to watch. And I'm also noticing now, guys getting better from the time they arrived until the time that they have left. Most notably, look at a kid like Chris Camanje. So I'm admitting that he has done a great job and he has turned things around. But I just find it really fascinating that people that I break bread with often, or people that I bend elbows with often, so wanted him gone. Oh my God, did they want him gone. And now they can't admit it. I mean, such is life, I guess. I don't know what else to tell you. I just find it comical. I really do. Anyway, enough about that. Best of luck to them tomorrow. I'm going out with some Noles. We're going to watch the game. It's going to be at a place. I'm not going to mention that place because they didn't spend any money on our radio station. I'm a company guy. You don't spend, you don't get mentions. It's as simple as that. I'll talk about Mr. Chubby's wings. I just ordered the Chubby platter. 50 wings, 2 drinks, 2 fries, $49.99. Big Country is here.
Rick, can you send some of those back to the station for me, please?
Brent Hopkins is here. For you, Lave, I'll take that special trip. I mean, that's on the way home for me.
Craving some wings.
I know. We tried to get you out here, but we were unable to pull that off tonight. We'll have to make that happen next week when we're back out on the road. Yeah, they got great wings here, no doubt about it. And it's a phenomenal crowd that is with us right here and is going to be with us for the remainder of the night. All right, we're heading up here on 8 o'clock. How does that poll look so far? Brought to you by Exit Real Estate Gallery, Matt LaVey.
Yeah, Rick, we put it out there on Twitter so you can go vote fans. We put it out there with Florida and Florida State both in action this weekend. Which outcome is most likely to happen? As of right now, 61% say they think FSU will advance. Only 7% say Florida will advance. Now, 21% do say both advance, and 11% say neither.
All right, Matt LaVey with the very latest. Thank you to Exit Real Estate Gallery. Let's get ready for the 8 o'clock hour. We got much more to get into, including the latest as far as scores. We'll reset everything that happened on this Friday and get you ready for the 4 late night games as well. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Mr. Chubby's, we are here having a good time. Mr. Chubby's Wings, Fleming Island, Village Square Parkway, here till 9. Sports Den will take over then. Let's get you updated on what is going on. Duke struggling early on, 31 points against North Dakota State. So another 16 seed doing their part. North Dakota State, the victory over NCC, what was that, North Carolina Coastal, on Friday, excuse me, on Wednesday, and now giving Duke all they want here in the first half. Let's see, Duke so far, let's take a look at the four freshmen. Williamson with 10, only one board, 10 for Barrett. Jones, only 2 points, 2 fouls early on, and Reddish with 4. Duke shooting fine, 12 of 28, that's 43%. They're just not able to make their shots from behind the arc. Again, 22% so far, 2 of 9 shooting. So a low-scoring first half. Duke and North Dakota State will keep you updated on that basketball game. That is at half. A couple other games that are ongoing right now. Utah State and Washington, number 9 UW, up 43-33. Underway now in the second half, 17-21 to go in that matchup. Houston up 36-28 over Georgia State. Houston a 3-seed, Georgia State a 14-seed. 2 minutes to go first half in that basketball game. Liberty and Mississippi State. Could we have our third 12-seed over a 5-seed? It's already happened twice in this tournament. 7 minutes to go first half. Liberty, well, now Mississippi State goes up. So it's 22-19 Mississippi State. Again, 7 minutes to go in the first half. If you have been out today, perhaps, I don't know, working, doing some things like that, and you have absolutely no idea as to what went on during the 8 games earlier this afternoon, let's get you updated. Perhaps the biggest scare of the day was 16-seeded Garner Webb. They had a 14-point lead over number 1-seeded Virginia in the South region. The same Virginia who was a number 1-seed a year ago went down for the first time in the history of the NCAA tournament. Virginia went on a nice little run towards the end of the first half to close the gap to 6. They dismantle Garner Webb in the second half of play. The Cavaliers move on 71-56. Tennessee a winner today, 77-70 over Colgate. So Tennessee does advance in the South as the number 2 seed. Texas Tech a winner, 72-57 over Northern Kentucky. Now that is a final from earlier today. Buffalo 91-74 over Arizona State. The biggest upset on this Friday, UC Irvine. The Anteaters getting it done against Kansas State, a 13 seed over a 4 seed. They win that ball game 70-64. Oregon, the aforementioned 12 over a 5. They knock off Wisconsin today 72-54. Iowa 79-72 over Cincinnati, a 10 seed. The Hawkeyes, the Bearcats go down 79-72. And the first game to tip off earlier this afternoon was number 9 Oklahoma 95, Ole Miss 72. The 4 games on tap tonight. Iona is a 16 seed. Will take on North Carolina. That's in the Midwest region at 9:20. UCF and VCU at 9:40 tonight. That's in the East region. That's a 9 against an 8 seed. Number 11 seeded Ohio State against 6 seeded Iowa State. That is at 9:50 tonight. Really staring at this game now that I've picked Iowa State to go all the way to the national title and play in that game against Duke. And here I am looking at it about an hour and 45 minutes away from tip time. And I guess I'm getting nervous with my pick, but it's just a pick, right? Why not do things a little bit differently? St. Louis will be the final game tonight against Vatek, the Billikens and the Hokies at 9:57. That'll be the last game to get underway and be completed on this Friday night. All right, the two that obviously you folks, well, then again, you got the local games here in Jacksonville. Tomorrow, Gator fans, you're up first. You're on CBS. You're a 6.5-point dog, a 10 seed against the number 2 seed. That'll be on CBS at 5:15 tomorrow. The Noles will be on tomorrow night at 6:10 on TNT. Florida State, I have seen them listed as a 5 or 5.5-point favorite against Murray State. And again, trying to find a way to control Ja Morant, who had the triple-double yesterday for Weber State in their upset victory over Marquette. That game will be at 6:10. Games right here in town, Maryland and LSU at 12:10, and that'll be followed up by Wofford and Kentucky. They will do that at 2:40. So back-to-back right here tomorrow in Jacksonville. A couple of good games. Maryland and LSU at 12:10. LSU only favored by 2 points in this game. And then Wofford and Kentucky, the second-seeded Wildcats, favored by 5. Other games tomorrow. Baylor and Gonzaga at 7:10. Minnesota and Michigan State at 7:45. Villanova and Purdue at 8:40. And then Auburn and Kansas, what a basketball game that should be. That is the late night matchup on Saturday night at 9:40. Those are the games that have already been announced for Saturday. A couple of games have been announced for Sunday. Oklahoma and Virginia, no time, but that is your matchup, as we know. And you are obviously following around in your bracket. Iowa will take on Tennessee. Buffalo will take on Texas Tech. Those are the only three games that have been announced for Sunday, because all of the other games are ongoing right now as we do speak. But, you know, it's been a – I think the tournament so far has been exciting. But we haven't seen, outside of the 12 and the 5, and we've had two of them. That's usually the average. It's usually like, what, 1.5? You usually get at least one a year, often years two, a 12 seed over a 5 seed. And we had the big victory with the 13 seed over a 4 seed. But this has not been a tournament, because I was looking at the odds going in where there was a lot of projections as far as buzzer beaters. We haven't seen that. That has really not been the theme during the first day and a half of the tournament. Now, obviously, that could change by the weekend, and I think a lot of people believe that it will change. But, I mean, the early trend is that we haven't seen games of that particular magnitude, at least early on. But, again, plenty to do, and plenty of things could change as we do move forward. All right, when we do return, I'm going to take a couple of minutes off from the basketball tournament, because I do want to give you Truth Teller news and notes, and of course, each and every day they are brought to you by our good friends over at truckcrashlaw.com. There are other things that are going on in the world of sports that I certainly want to spend a couple of moments on, and then when we come back after that, we'll go through these scores once again and get you ready for Denny and James, who will take over tonight beginning at 9 o'clock. But I do want to mix in some other things that are happening in the world of sports. So we'll do that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Before we get there, though, let's check the poll. That's brought to you by Exit Real Estate Gallery. Matt LaVey back in the studio. How's your bracket look, by the way, Matt?
Rick, mine is not doing too hot after today.
Well, I was 13-3 yesterday. I imagine you were somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, I dropped only three games yesterday as well, just like you, but obviously a couple losses here today. Taking a look at the bracket right now, I had Wisconsin over Oregon, which that was a loss for me on that end. And then I also, of course, didn't have UC Irvine defeating Kansas State in that one, so that's another miss for me.
All right. Well, it happens. Hey, these first, second round games mean a little something, but I mean, it certainly gets very important. First round games, I should say, as you get deeper in the bracket, do you still have your, final eight teams remaining? Do you still have your final four teams remaining? Right now, I've got all of them, which I imagine you do as well. Update us, though, on tonight's poll, please, brought to you by Exit Real Estate Gallery.
Absolutely, Brooke. You put it out there with Florida and Florida State both in action this weekend. Which outcome is most likely to happen? Now, we gave everyone four options out there. You could either choose either Florida advances, FSU advances, both advance, or neither advance. So at the moment, 62% say only FSU advances. 21% believe that both of those teams will advance. 11% going with neither one advancing. And at the bottom, only 6% think that just Florida will advance.
You got to be kidding me. 6% in a very strong Florida Gator market. I mean, they're only a 5.5, 6.5 point favorite, depending on where you go right now, or 5.5, 6.5 point underdog, against Michigan tomorrow. And if they heat up from behind the arc, they have a chance to pull off this upset. 6%. Boy, very surprised. As a matter of fact, I'm shocked that the number is that low. All right, remember, you can take part in the poll. Just go to Twitter and go to Ballou. That's B-A-L-L-O-U 1010XL. And you can vote for one of those four. Either the Noles are in, the Gators are in, they're both in, or they're both out. You can choose either one of those four. All right, we got much more to get into, including Truth Teller news and notes, brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. That's coming up next. We are live from Mr. Chubby's Wings here in Fleming Island.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Oh, yeah, love making music. There's actually a couple of kids right by me, so I gotta say that softly. I'm gonna cover up my hands. But the Little River Band, I think they're coming in. I think they're coming into Florida Times Union. Well, no, the Florida Theater, along with Pablo Cruz. How's that for a double billing? Kidding me? I may have to call in sick. Would it be that obvious? The Little River Band's in town, but we called in sick. All right, let's get right to it. Truth Teller News and Notes brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com, based out of Jacksonville. They're the only law firm like this in the state of Florida. It's unbelievable what they're able to do. If a tragedy does occur where someone has been injured, even if a death did occur out on the road and it happened by a truck, an RV, a tractor trailer, a bus, and it's really affected your life, you need the best out there when it comes to this. This is what they specialize in. TruckCrashLaw.com. I know all the people involved with this firm, and they're just phenomenal people. I've known them for a very, very long time until they decided to do something with us here. And they're there to help you. As I say, hopefully you don't have to use them because you're not aware of something like this that did happen. But if it did, with everything that you have to deal with, make sure you get this side of it taken care of. Go to TruckCrashLaw.com. Let's be a little bit of baseball today. Chris Sale, reportedly the Boston Red Sox, 5 years, $150 million. Tough to believe that Chris Sale still hasn't won a Cy Young Award. And, you know, getting him from the White Sox for a couple of years ago did Boston. They believe his best days are still ahead of him. I'm just concerned about the length of the deal with Chris Sale, only because of in the pitch count era, as great as Chris Sale is, he's got a little too much Pedro Martinez in him that he just tries to strike everyone out. And I get in these arguments with Red Sox fans and baseball fans. The only thing that I can look at for this guy in a negative would be you don't always have to strike out guys. You don't always have to throw six, seven, eight pitches to every batter. Sometimes put the ball over the plate where you know you can get the guy out with either a fly ball or with a ground ball. Striking guys out is, you know, that's where you get the big money. The chicks love it, okay? But I want my number one going more than five and a third innings. And it seems like that's what Chris Sale does every fifth day. He barely gets out of the sixth inning. I want my starting pitcher giving me at a minimum six, and I would like to have him give me seven. And Chris Sale just bows out too early too much. Now, I love the guy. I do. I'm just giving him tough love. It's like Tom Izzo. It's me coaching him here from Jacksonville. And the guy came in and replaced Craig Kimbrel. They went to him when the Red Sox won the World Series this year. So a wealthy raise for Chris Sale. He's earned it. But I just hope he becomes a little bit more of a pitcher and not just such a strikeout guy. His command is phenomenal. But he throws too many pitches, in my opinion. Just mine. I'm going to share it with you. Craig Kimbrel, by the way, apparently now it's down to the Braves or the Brewers. Can you imagine if this was football? Craig Kimbrel, if he's not the best closer in baseball, and, you know, he struggled last year in the playoffs, but he had a real good regular season. And you look at his career, I mean, he's on his way to a Hall of Fame career. After what he's done in Atlanta, he had the, 1 year in, what was it, San Diego? And then he's been in Boston now for 4 years or so. It's either Atlanta or Milwaukee. But can you imagine if this was football and we were a week away from the regular season and a top position guy still wasn't signed? All right? I'm not talking about a quarterback, but, you know, Craig Kimbrel's a relief pitcher. So, you know, let's just say it was a safety or an offensive lineman, a guard or something like that. Can you imagine the NFL having a bona fide Pro Bowler, the very best at his position, not signed? This isn't a situation where, you know, he was just cut and he's out there for the taking. This guy has been a free agent forever, and he has yet to sign with the team. Very interesting story, but that is the very latest involved with Craig Kimbrel. All right, bad news unfortunately rolled in today from the owners' committee in the National Football League. This comes from Rich McKay, and this is very disappointing. And, you know, I'm going to compare this to the college football playoff for years. There are certain things in sports that I think make so much sense, yet for one reason or another, we just don't have it, and it becomes extra frustrating for the sports fan. After what we witnessed last year, especially during the Saints-Rams game, I think we all thought that there would be changes in the rules as far as the eighth official, the sky judge that, you know, we have seen that is now being used in this new American Football League, whatever it's called. I honestly haven't watched it at all just because I'm satisfied enough by watching hockey, basketball, spring training baseball, the Daytona 500, the PGA Tour, everything else that's going on. I don't need football during the offseason. But the sky judges worked there. And today, Rich McKay, who's the competition committee chairman, along with Troy Vincent, who, of course, is the NFL executive vice president of football operations, both claim that there is no support from any member of the committee to add the sky judge or an extra official to get calls right or to get calls that have not been made, like the non-pass interference call against the Saints and the Rams. So the way things sit right now today, if in September, during week one of the National Football League, a similar play like that happens and no call takes place on the field, you're still not going to be able to overchange that from above. What is even more surprising about this is that Sean Payton is on the competition committee. We heard the complaints from Sean Payton. We heard the complaints from Mrs. Benson, the owner of the Saints. You know that they had to have been involved in some sort of conversation. So how could they get through this series of meetings to the point where Rich McKay has said today that no support from any member of the committee is in favor of the sky judge or the extra official? Now, the one technicality is this. The owners can reject this. The owners will have final say. I'd like to tell you that I'm not entirely surprised, because when they walked Roger Goodell out during the Wednesday of Super Bowl week, boy, you could read it all over him. You talk about body language and facial expressions. When he was asked about this by a member of the media, he had been informed by the owners that there wasn't going to be a change taking place. So unless something crazy happens here in the very near future, ladies and gentlemen, we are heading back into a NFL season where we're not going to have any changes about a possible call that wasn't made and could be made by that extra official. I just do not understand. You've got to be kidding me here. All I'm asking for, and I'm asking this because I think you out there totally agree with me, give me an explanation as to why this doesn't make any sense. Any type of explanation. I mean, this affects everything. And I'm still going to stick with an earlier opinion that I gave you right after this game took place, the Monday after the fact, when we knew what the Super Bowl matchup was. If the NFL doesn't fix this, the government's going to get involved. And I'll tell you why. Because in cities and states that are now making so much money legally because of gambling on sporting events. Do you have any idea the millions and the millions and the millions and the millions of dollars that change hands in a situation like that between the Saints and the Rams, when we all know that the game should have gone the other way and it wasn't because of a non-call? There were actually some sports books who gave the winnings to the Saints. Vegas never does that. Casinos never do that. I'll have to Google it and look back on it. You can do it right now listening if you... Well, hell, if you're driving, you're Googling anyway, right? You're on your phone. I mean, that's what people do nowadays when they're driving. But, I mean, it's going to happen, folks. I'm telling you that. The government's going to get involved in this situation. So let's just hope that the NFL owners see this and understand that it's better for the game. What's the problem? Is it the length of the game? I just want an explanation as to why. I mean, I honestly would think that if we did the exit real estate gallery question of the night on something like this, that it would be 100% from you, the listener, the NFL fan, that would be in full support of this sky judge or an extra official to change a situation where a call was not made. At least that's my opinion on it. Maybe I'm dead wrong. You can get to me on Twitter if you believe that's the case. Baloo at 1010XL, or just Baloo 1010XL. All right, one other note. Frank Shamrock, you may remember the name. He was involved in the WWE. He was one of the really original guys to once, you know, the MMA and fighting inside the cage actually came to TV. What an awful story that was released about him today. And I used to like Frank Shamrock, but he's under investigation now by Dallas police for animal cruelty. Apparently, he at the airport left his dog tied to the back bumper with water and food and then flew off to another part of the country. He went to California. They obviously found the dog, and they are now charging him with animal cruelty. But he left the dog in a parking lot at the airport in Dallas, tied up to the back bumper of his truck. His 7-year-old dog. Unbelievable. Charged with animal cruelty. That is the very latest there as far as Frank Shamrock. And I'm mentioning him because I think some of our listeners out there, whether they be, wrestling fans or those who actually watch the mixed martial arts, will are certainly in remembrance of him. He's kind of disappeared over the last couple of years. But anyway, what a bizarre story that is. All right, there you go. News and notes, Truth Teller style, brought to you by the good folks over at TruckCrashLaw.com. Remember, if there has been a tragedy that's happened out on the road, and it's happened to you, your family, a good friend, or whatever, TruckCrashLaw.com, they are the only law firm in the state of Florida where this is what they do. This is their expertise, and this is what they stand for, and they do a fantastic job with it. So everything that you're going through, and if an accident did happen, and it was created by a truck or an RV or a bus or a tractor trailer or something along those lines, just give them a ring, or better yet, just go to their website and see what they're all about. It's truckcrashlaw.com, and they're based in Jacksonville. They're the only law firm who, this is what they do, entirely, right here based in Jacksonville, and they're fantastic people. So make sure you contact them today. All right, when we come back, let's put our final touches here on basketball. Talk more about what's going on as far as the games tonight. Spend a little bit of time on the Noles and the Gators as they get set for their matchup tomorrow, trying to advance into the Sweet 16. We asked you to come on by. What a great crowd here tonight at Mr. Chubby's Wings out here in Village Square Parkway in Fleming Island. Plenty of kids are here. All sorts of families are here. They got a great bar section surrounded by TVs. Of course, every single game is up. They got some incredible specials here. How does the Chubby platter sound? $49.99, all right? 50 wings, two drinks, two French fries. You've got ladies' night, which begins here at 9 o'clock, right, when I get off the air. How come it's not dudes' night? How come it's not guys' night? How come it's not truth-teller night? It's always ladies' night.
I'm a sausage ladies guy.
Ladies enjoy dollar drafts. Did Hacker just interrupt me? I can't believe I thought Hacker was spending all his time pushing the new blue pill.
I'm a sausage guy.
Yeah, I thought he was pushing the blue pill. Ladies' night, dollar drafts, dollar house wines beginning at 9 o'clock. Wow. That's here at Mr. Chubby's Wings. So come on by for that. All right, we got some good stuff going on here. We are going to run until 9. Then it's James Coleman and Denny Thompson. It's the Sports Den. They take over then.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, a pack of ladies just arrived. Ladies' night begins in about 15 minutes. And they are aware of that. It'll be 9 to close, 9 to midnight tonight. Ladies' night here at Mr. Chubby's Wings. Dollar drafts, dollar house wines. So, I think a good question would be if you wanted to buy the ladies' drinks, you got to pay men's prices to buy the ladies' the drinks, or do the ladies get them for a buck? Uh-huh. We'll see. We'll see if the ladies make their way up to the bar here, if they wait for the guys to find the drink. I don't know the answer to those questions. I'm so removed from the game, you know. I had game, but I've just been removed from the game. Oh, I got to tell you, greatest story ever. Today, I squeezed in 9 holes this morning over at Joington Creek with a buddy of mine, Woody Bunch, and another buddy of mine, or a buddy of his, I should say. And he goes through the obligatory Florida State stuff. So we're talking all the Florida State stuff. He's a Florida State grad and all this good stuff. So, you know, all this great stuff was going on. He's a Florida State guy, so, you know. Playing some golf. Everything's great. He says he's been listening to me for years and all this. And then he drops the, "I also met your ex," he says to me. I go, "Oh, really?" He goes, "Yeah, your ex-wife. He's a jeweler." "Your ex-wife came in with your ring when they were going through the divorce." So there you go. What are the chances of that actually taking place? I go to play golf with a good buddy. He brings out his good buddy, who's a jeweler, who got the ring that I purchased for my one-time wife. Small world, huh? And that was it. End of the conversation. We moved on. We started concentrating on far more important things, like trying to get some birdies out there at Joington Creek. First time I played out there in a long, long time. And I did enjoy it. 9 holes. I can't do more than 9 on work days. Even working at night, I'm too wired. I just can't do it. Just can't get away from everything that's going on. Plus, I want to be back for all the games that began around, 12:30. This afternoon. The same thing tomorrow morning. Going to mix in a little bit of golf tomorrow morning and then get ready for, you know, this Saturday. I was really thinking about going to the games here in Jacksonville, and I hope that a lot of our listeners are going. It's great to take advantage of seeing a regional right here in town. It's a tremendous facility for basketball, and I think you got 2 real good games here in town. I'm just not going to do it tomorrow, but I know a lot of you folks will, and all the power to you. Should have 2 good ones there between Maryland and LSU at 12:10, and then Wofford and Kentucky at 2:40. So back-to-back in Jacksonville. Get out of there just in time to watch the games on TV, and I'm definitely looking forward to those 2 games. That'll be Florida and Michigan beginning at 5:15 on CBS. Again, the Wolverines favored by 6.5. That's the Gators as a 10 seed against the second-seeded Michigan Wolverines in the West Region. That's in Des Moines. Gators have to make their 3-point shots tomorrow. It's as simple as that. I mean, again, you look at their numbers yesterday. They were 19 of 35 if you take away their 5 of 18 from behind the three-point arc. I don't think they're going to get that quality of shot selection from the perimeter against a very good Michigan defensive team. They are going to have to make their three-point shots. Yeah, I'm going to set the minimum right now at 11 for Florida. They're going to have to be north of 11 three-point shots in order to win this basketball game against the Michigan Wolverines. You know, Michigan scored 74 points in their victory over Montana. Very talented basketball team. I'll set the line there. Florida State and Murray State is at 6-10. Actually, some Murray State money beginning to roll in. This line opened at 5.5. I see it now consistently at 5. The Ja Morant effect is coming into play. And, you know, that's what this tournament is all about. What is this young man going to be able to do? In our very first hour, we visited with Tim Lonefeld, senior writer from Seminoles.com, who's in Hartford for this game again tomorrow. And, you know, really the major story right now for Florida State on the court, because the off-the-court story is really left heavy hearts with this Seminole basketball team when the word came out that Phil Kofer lost his dad. I guess the way the story goes now, there was some mistakes made in the reporting of this story or the understanding of this story with Phil Kofer. Before game time, he was in a boot, so it had been determined that he was not going to be able to play. He did not learn about the passing of his dad until after the game. And, you know, the Noles were jubilant. It was a hard-fought victory against Vermont. Vermont gave them all they wanted. They made 16 three-pointers in that game. And Florida State, with their athleticism, just pulled away in the second half. And I described that game yesterday for Florida State as ugly, but it was a good win. Any win in this tournament's a good win. It was an ugly game, but they got a win. And the excitement of being able to advance and getting ready to take on the winner of the Marquette-Murray State game, which ended up being Murray State, and then within moments, they all find out that, you know, one of their teammates and one of their friends lost their dad. So that's a difficult situation to deal with for anyone. Now you have to look at what they're going to try to do defensively against Ja Morant. And Tim Lonefeld told us that it's going to be, according to Leonard Hamilton, it's going to be a bunch of different guys. They're going to draw that responsibility. It's not going to be just on one guy tomorrow to try to take over and do it against this young kid, who's going to be a lottery pick in the draft, and I'm really looking forward to watching him play. Again, that's the game coming up at 6:10 tomorrow. So, again, Gator fans at 5:30, your matchup against Michigan. Make that 5:15, excuse me, and then Florida State at 6:10. So you'll have the Gator second half going on right around the time that the Noles tip off, and then the two games here, Maryland and LSU at 12:10, followed up by Wofford and Kentucky. That game will be at 2:40. All right, real quick for you here. The four games that are going on. All three of the four are beginning to become one-sided. You have Duke now up 64-42 over North Dakota State. You have UW now up over Utah State, 69-58 with 3:21 to go. There's 9:15 remaining in that Duke game. Georgia State now trailing Houston 59-41 with 11:28 to go. And the only close game really right now out of the four that are out there is Mississippi State up 43-37 over Liberty, 18 minutes to go in the second half. All right, much more to do. Let's do this, though, right now.
Now, the two-minute drill delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
Denny Thompson is here. We continue live from Mr. Chubby's Wings in Fleming Island. What a great place this is.
It is a great place. Some good wings, too.
Oh, yeah, I just really had some. I'd eaten during the break.
Uh-huh.
And Ladies' Night begins here in 10 minutes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wasn't aware of that. What does Ladies' Night entail?
Well, this is what I'm trying to figure out. It's okay. Ladies' Night, 9 to close.
Okay.
Dollar drafts, dollar house wines. I know you're a real generous guy, and you probably like to buy those pack of ladies over there a drink. Do you have to spend a buck a piece on them, or you got to pay men's prices?
That's a really good question.
That's why I'm here for it. I've been known over the years to ask the tough questions.
That actually, I've never thought about that in my life.
Well, I'm a former bartender, so.
So what would you have allowed?
If I was tending bar,
yeah,
and it was a bunch of dudes who came up, I was going to charge them dudes prices because I was a, I'm a company guy. I want to make money for the bar.
Well, I think if you let them deliver the drinks to the ladies, that makes a difference. Like, you can't deliver the drinks to the man and then trust them. No man's trustworthy like that.
I just don't want any fraud involved. I don't want to see girls up there buying a bunch of drinks and then hand them off to guys.
That's true.
You know?
Is this a thing?
I don't know. I'm just here to sniff out anything that is fraudulent.
See, I've been married so long and I got married so young.
Yeah.
I didn't even know this was a thing, but it's brilliant. It's actually it's a great run, actually.
Yep.
That was just taught about Tinder. I had no idea what Tinder was.
I've never been on it. Gibby was showing me some stuff. I don't even know how that works.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
I'm so old-fashioned. When I used to try to pick up women, it was really, really complicated. Here's what you did. You walked up to them, and you actually had a conversation.
Well, who wants to do that anymore?
I don't know, but that's how it used to work.
Hey, are you going out tomorrow to the tournament?
I am not going to go out to the tournament tomorrow. I'm going to play some golf early in the morning, and then I'm going to get ready for those games, but...
Well, Southampton?
I'm actually playing tomorrow at a play. I'm playing Southampton on Sunday morning.
Okay.
I'm playing tomorrow at a place that doesn't advertise on our radio station.
Okay.
And again, I'm such a company guy, I'm not giving them a free play.
No, shame on them.
Yeah, I just like watching all the games on TV.
Yeah.
Are you going out?
Yeah, I am.
Good for you.
I'm going to go out. I wasn't going to because I've got to go to Atlanta for Elite 11 on Sunday. But
yeah.
I like that it's the early slate. I guess it's the the noon 2:10 or something like that.
Yeah, it's I think 12:10 and 2:40.
Yeah, is, something like that. So I think that Kentucky game's going to be good.
Yeah,
I actually think that could be a competitive game for a little while. I mean, what we're seeing today is Duke struggled early, Virginia struggled early.
Yep.
Really, when I go out there, I just want to see a game for 60% of it.
There you go. That's all you can ask for. And, and most of the, I mean, even. This Duke game in the first half tonight was good for the first 30 minutes. Virginia today, as you pointed out, was an unbelievable struggle. They were down 14.
My bracket sucks, though.
Yeah, I had 13 yesterday. I've had a pretty good day today, but I need these, you know, I don't know. I missed two today. So I could go 14-2 today if all my teams
were. That's not bad. That's pretty good. That'll win you some money.
All right, Mr. Chubby's coming up. I'm going to leave this right here for you. It's ladies' night. And, also invite the people in for the Chubby Platter. 50 wings, 2 drinks, 2 french fries, only $49.99.
Look at your boy James over there. That's what he got for him.
He ordered a Chubby Platter for himself.
For himself.
Yeah, that's tremendous. All right, there you go. Denny Thompson and James Coleman coming up right now on 1010XL in 92.5 FM. Let's send it back to Matt LeVay for the very latest on our question of the night, which was brought to you as it is every night by Exit Real Estate Gallery.
Yeah, Rick, we put it out there. With both Florida and Florida State in action this weekend, which outcome is most likely to happen? 63% say only FSU advances. 21% say they think both FSU and Florida will advance. 11% say neither advance, and only 5% say just Florida advances in this one.
Yeah, I'm very surprised that there's not a little bit more of a push there by the Gators. I know they're dogs tomorrow to Michigan, and Michigan's a better team, but anything can happen in the NCAA tournament. Matt, great stuff. Enjoy the rest of the tournament. Are you going to be able to make it out there tomorrow?
I'm going to try. I want to go watch at least one of those games out there, probably going to be the Kentucky game, and then hopefully catch the Florida game after that.
All right, have fun out there. We'll see you back here on Monday. There he goes, producer Matt LeVay. Thank you to Big Country for engineering the program as well. Hannah is out here in charge of our marketing and promotion, and as well Brent Hopkins out here from our sales staff. So some great stuff here at Mr. Chubby's. We've had a whole heck of a lot of fun. That is going to continue right now. We'll get you ready for James Coleman and Denny Thompson in the Sports Den. Folks, have a great night. Enjoy all these games. Enjoy yourself this weekend as well. The next time I talk with you will be Monday night from 7 to 9. Right here on 1010XL in 92.5 FM.